Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson today. And it's been mostly a basketball day. And the reason for that is a lot of people have been writing about a changing of the guard in the NBA. This stat really blew me away, and I first saw it from John Hollinger's piece in The Athletic. It's the first time since 2005. Let me help you out there. It's almost 20 years.
Thanks, Tony.
And it's the first time in almost 20 years that Steph, LeBron James, and Kevin Durant were all three of them will not play in the second round of the playoffs. Like, that in and of itself does kind of sit with me in a way that would lead you to, well, maybe it is time to really, really reassess rather than just tweak. But
Before we get back into the Warriors, I mean, does it make you excited about where the league is going? I know you got something to take care of right now, but you can answer that after.
Yeah, first thing I'd like you to do is experience the wonder of Bodega Bay at the iconic Inn at the Tides. Enjoy a walk on Duran Beach and take a dip in the heated pool. Special midweek rates, they start at just $249 per night, breakfast included. Book your escape at innatthetides.com. And where were we?
The fact that Curry, KD, and LeBron have not gotten out of the first round, last time was 2005, does it make you excited about where the league is going? It feels like there's more uncertainty. I don't know if it's star power or supremacy. It seems like it's open season.
Yeah, it's the natural cycle of sports.
It's the real NBA.
So I don't attach any emotion to it. It's going to happen one way or the other, so you got to deal with it.
Means Finchie's got a good shot.
Well, and that's one thing I was thinking I may do, because I've pinpointed the date, and it was December 12th.
Okay.
So we were just a month into the year.
Something about 12-12? What's
going on there? Well, it was just December 12th.
2012?
Was when I got on 95.7 The Game, and I proclaimed something that hadn't been proclaimed at that point.
Okay.
And so I was the first to proclaim it.
Yes, you were.
And I think that right now we can say I was right. And on December 12th, I got on these airwaves and I said, hey, we got a new team to put in the championship contender category. We got a new team that y'all better recognize. And it's the Minnesota Timberwolves. Oh, stop, relax. Oh, stop, relax. They have no experience. Rudy Gobert stinks. Edwards is too young. Finchie, nothing about Finchie. But,
well, that you chose to hear.
I'm just saying. Anybody else would have tried to tell me Minnesota's not a title contender? I'll tell you what they, you know what I've heard? You know what they're doing today in Minnesota?
What?
Team Lunch. Oh, they're having nuggets.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. They're going to McDonald's, and they're having nuggets for lunch. Those T-Wolves, baby.
I thought you were talking about the Panda Express in the hospital wing, because that's where Finch is getting his surgery right now. No, you could say they're battle-tested.
Surgery tomorrow.
His surgery's tomorrow. They are battle-tested. He gave his patella tendon for that team.
Oh, man. This is from the
it's like a year-long recovery.
Xfinity Mobile text line. I'm having a little fun with the 510. Hey, the Warriors have a better bench than Denver. I'm waiting for the ... and, okay? Warriors might have the best bench in the league. I mean, I don't think they do, but...
Well, I think by... it's not a good
sign. Like, is that a good thing or bad thing?
Well, the fact that they outscored opposing benches, I believe, the most of any NBA team. But again, yeah, that's not a great sign. Especially when you've seen the bench and starting lineup changes as frequently as the Warriors did.
Right.
It was so.
No,
5-1-0. I wasn't taking a crap on the Nuggets championship. I was trying to uplift Warriors fans by saying that everyone gets breaks, okay? Everyone gets breaks
Everybody.
To win a championship.
No doubt.
Including if the Minnesota Timberwolves somehow do it this year. I'm sure they'll catch a break. And
well, they're actually doing it the hard way. I mean, their coach just got hurt. I mean.
Yeah, he's trying to take the pressure off his players. He wants it to be about him.
Yep. Shut up.
What?
I was distracted, but I caught the... Please.
There's an eye in Finch.
He's the opposite of a Don Nelson. He did not take credit. He always credits the
players. What are you talking about? He told you... Well, he's got the Curry rules, right? He's writing a book on it.
No, he's not.
You don't know that.
He wrote a sentence on it. When Steph makes two threes, we call timeout.
Meet me halfway. Call it a pamphlet.
All right. A little booklet. Let's go to Eric in San Francisco. What's up, Eric? How you doing, man?
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to get your opinion on this, and I think that actually the Warriors losing this year, not making the playoffs, may in the long run be the best thing that happened to the franchise. And the reason why I say that is I think this year is the culmination of basically the turnover of the NBA from the Steph, KD, LeBron era. Because if you look between 2010 and 2020, basically Steph, KD, LeBron, Kawhi, Paul George, James Harden, et cetera,
sure,
were the top 15 players in the league.
Yep.
And they won the lion's share of MVPs and All-NBA's championships. But since 2020, those guys have collectively won one title, the Warriors. And this year, they're collectively 3-11 in the playoffs. With two series losses, the Warriors not making the playoffs, and the Clippers tied 2-2 with the Mavericks. And we see the Thunder coming up, we see the Timberwolves coming up, and we see the Nuggets kind of taking the mantle as the team to beat. And I just think that basically the playoffs are showing if we were to trade for KD, we're not winning a title. The Warriors are kind of, the NBA is turning over, just like it did between 2010 and 2014 when the Lakers, the Celtics, the Spurs, and the short-run Heat turned over to the Warriors and the Cavs, and then subsequently the rest of the whole Warriors run. So I just think it's the natural progression of the NBA.
Right.
The Warriors should realistically look at, well, if the NBA is turning over, what is our best path going forward? And I would argue that some sort of steady transition to the young guys, while respectfully giving deference to the old guys and probably letting Clay go, is probably the best move for the Warriors going forward, simply because, like I said, the league is turning over, and therefore it's time to move on to a new page. I don't know. I'll see what you guys think.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Eric, and I think that's what... that's what we're all kind of wrestling with, is the fact that these top three teams, at least let's use them in the West, I mean, they're the best teams in the West right now, and they're like the youngest teams in the West right now, or they are in their primes. I mean, barring an injury, Oklahoma City's going to be better. Now, they might not be better in terms of 8 wins, but they're going to get more experience. Minnesota's going to get more experience. And so, yeah, that's the topic of the conversation. So what did the Warriors do? And how much does what is going on at the top of the West impact what they want to do? I think that's another fair question. I mean, it's one thing if you want to go from, all right, they're a 46-win 10 seed. All right, can we get to a 49-50 win 6 seed? Yeah, you could do that. But you could also do that and in a way fall further behind the big boys because your improvement was less incremental than theirs almost.
Yeah, and it wasn't good enough.
I mean, exactly.
You know, you just weren't getting there. I think it's interesting he brings up kind of the cyclical nature of the NBA because in a way you could make the case that these older aging superstars have been around far longer than in previous generations should be. I mean, LeBron's 40. Players at age 40 don't do what LeBron James does. Curry, who's 36, he's going to be 37 next season. At that age, players aren't playing at the level that Steph Curry is currently. I mean, he referenced 2014 as kind of being a changing. There was only one player, or I guess two players that got an MVP vote that season that were age 35 and up. And they were outside of the top 10. It was Dirk Nowitzki and Tim Duncan, who were 35 and 37.
Right.
The Mavericks weren't very good. Like, it's a young man's league. And I think we're starting to figure out, and we will figure out, when eventually these, you know, awards get handed out, when the all-pro teams come out, all-NBA teams, there's going to be younger players involved in there.
No doubt.
LeBron might be there. Curry's, I think, going to be a third-team member. But that's Durant, perhaps. But we're finding out that once you get to the postseason, it's about youth. It's about athleticism. It's about players
length.
Getting better and rising to the occasion. So
it's also about putting shooters on the floor,
yeah,
from a variety of positions. This is kind of interesting, and I don't want to say this kind of sticking at the Warrior fans, but you know, we're saying, what about, you know, how do you get Minnesota and Denver and Oklahoma City? 415 saying, what about Memphis, Houston, and San Antonio? Three teams below the Warriors. I mean, it's a fair question. The Warriors are looking, how do we get back up into the top five? It's the question, how do we avoid falling further, knowing that there's a couple teams below us that look to be tangibly improving? How would you factor those kind of teams in?
Well, that's why, again, I think that, you know, the Warriors are focused on being their best. You know, it's hard
really
to kind of look at the rest of the West. Yeah, I mean,
you're right.
Look, I think the Clippers are prone to take a step back due to age. Phoenix, perhaps, due to age. Mm-hmm. The Warriors, you could also put in that category. The Lakers, mm-hmm, potentially, depending on what LeBron James chooses to do. You know, so there's three or four teams that are headed backwards, well, so to speak.
Right, or could be, sure.
I'm not sure I see a major leap from San Antonio that puts them into postseason play. I'm not. Maybe Houston's probably the closest one because of the 41 wins. Maybe Memphis because they're getting Ja back and they're going to get healthy. But there's something about that franchise and specifically Ja Morant that I'm not too confident in. I mean, look, the 10 seed better be the floor. But I don't think you can look at the rest of the West and say, well, gosh, I mean, where are we going to fit? We should just. So what, we just give up kind of deal? Like, I mean, maybe you decide to take steps backward, but I think that's more of a financial decision than a basketball one. You're trying to figure out how to trim dollars while still competing.
Let me just throw this at you. It's a little bit of a non sequitur, but it does involve the Warriors. I was with a guy the other day. You can give me the drop. I was with just a guy the other day who
knows,
he knows basketball and whose opinion I trust, and he knows about the Warriors. And we're talking about the season, and he just throws at me, you know, we were saying, hey, what would you do? And he said, well, I'll tell you what I would have done this year. And I was like, what? He goes, well, I would have done something a little different this year with the players we had.
Okay.
And I was like, what? He goes, here's who I would have started. This is the lineup I would have run out there. And it's one of the reasons you run it out there is because of the way the league's gone. He said he would have tried. Curry at one. Wiggins at two. Kuminga at three. Draymond at four. And Trayce Jackson-Davis at five. And essentially said, to hell with it. We're going to go play all our 6'8 guys and our most athletic guys on the team. We're going to try to switch everything we possibly can. And I get it. You know, Wiggins and Kuminga have some shortcomings between them. And then I would have brought Klay Thompson off the bench. But at least that lineup means we're six, you know, after Steph, we're 6'8, 6'7, 6'8, 6'9. And I did go, huh. And he said, you know, obviously we got some shooting issues on that team, especially if Wiggins isn't shooting like he had the last couple of years. But it did make me go, huh, well, okay. I'm not saying it was, oh, that's a 55-win team. I'm not saying anything like that. But it was just a thought, having seen the way the league kind of went this year and where it clearly seems to be going.
Well, it would put you closest to the five that the Warriors, I think, were great with, which is Klay Thompson at the two at 6'6 when he was in his prime, and then obviously Durant or Barnes at the three, Draymond at the four, and you know Iguodala wherever you want to slide him into. So yeah, they're long and lengthy, and I understand that, but I also think that that lineup or that idea of a lineup of that nature is a reaction to, well, we got nothing else. Like, you're kind of pigeonholed into believing that something that value is kind of ridiculous.
It's not a panacea. But it was, to me, I found it interesting.
Yeah, I mean, look, it might be your best defensive lineup, but you're also looking at a 35% three-point shooter in Wiggins, 32% in Kuminga, Draymond, God love him, shot 39.5% this season, is not a three-point threat in my opinion. I mean, there's just no shooting. Make it a lot easier to guard Steph.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Pierce Evans, you're one of my favorites. I get it. And I understand throwing that lineup out there is easy. If my guy Pierce says, good luck scoring. I get it. I mean, that's the point, is we're trying to make a 10th seed into an 8th seed or a 7th seed, but all I'll tell you is, yeah, I just went, huh, interesting.
Well, this is the other thing about the postseason that you got to have shooters. And that's to me why the lineup wouldn't work at its crux, is because you don't have any shooting. And I guess that's why I think Klay Thompson still has a place on this team. Oklahoma City can at times spread the floor with five shooters.
Yep.
Boston can put five shooters on the floor. Kerr talked about it. The more shooting you have today in the league, the more difficult it is to defend. And while that might not mean a traditional motion offense in the way we're used to watching Golden State Warriors basketball, times are a-changing. And I think the Warriors found out and have found out the last two seasons that they are going to have to adjust this summer to the league more so than ever before. And that means they got to find guys that can make threes.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, one guy on Marcus Thompson's list was DeJounte Murray.
Yeah.
And I don't like it, because I don't like any of the ideas basically right now. I mean, I don't mean it like that. I just think the Warriors have a lot of real... Every decision they're going to face in the next year or two is going to be a difficult decision. I like the idea... First of all, I don't think Murray's nearly the defender that everybody thinks he is. But that's... Like, one thing I'd be willing to try is... Is there any way we can get a 6'6 guard in here that can play point guard and handle the ball at least half the time, maybe even more, who can guard the best guard on the other team, and it allows Steph to play two more? That's one thing that I'm absolutely positively ready to experiment more with, and that is playing Steph Curry at two and taking advantage of the fact that he has been able to do something that very few players have been able to do. I don't think there's ever been a player in the, I sound like ancient, who has been as effective both places on the ball and off the ball as Steph Curry. Like, that's the one thing that to me makes him, why it makes him as special or more special than a lot of the superstars who've ever come down the pike. is because when he doesn't have the ball in his hands, he's almost no less a threat than when he does have the ball in his hands. And if we all acknowledge that, then use that to his advantage and play him off the ball more. I also think that kind of running around is less taxing than when he's bringing the ball up, getting trapped at the top of the circle, trying to make a play, running to get it back. So that, like, that's one philosophical thing I would think about if I were the Warriors, is playing Steph at two more.
Well, then the guy you want is Devin Booker, right?
That's a good name.
I mean, Booker basically
that's a great name
Booker
for that situation.
Basically played point for them this season after Chris Paul left.
That's
he's
a great 6'6". Name
he's
for that.
He's in his prime.
That's a great name for that because, like, he played one, but it didn't work great, but it didn't fail totally.
No, and I think he also didn't benefit
like
from not
name.
Having another guy that could handle the ball.
Exactly. Exactly
which
right.
Curry can.
Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Let's go to the Pacific Northwest. One of Evan's favorite. You love the Pacific Northwest.
I do.
Yeah. Let's go to Portland.
Hey.
Talk to Cody. What's up, Cody? How you doing, man?
Rose City.
Hey, guys. Doing well.
Hey.
Thanks for keeping me plugged into the Bay up here.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I just wanted to provide my feedback on DeJounte Murray. I had called in about him prior to the trade deadline. I think he's a great fit for a couple reasons. You just mentioned the ball handling. His defense is above average, but I recall playing the Hawks this year, and he was slicing up our defense, cutting through the lane, finding the open shooter in the corner, and really opening up the offense for the Hawks. I think he could do that for us, and I think he's a gettable player this offseason, with a contract that is not enormous and would allow us to keep Kuminga, fill out the rest of the roster. And I just think that's a better way to go than to swing big on someone like Paul George. If we're talking about Embiid or Giannis, I'd say maybe put Kuminga on the table. But I really think DeJounte Murray would be a fit and allow us to build out the rest of the team and get back to strength in numbers versus just relying on Curry to do his thing, and he can't dribble by people like he used to.
Appreciate it, Cody. You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. Like with DeJounte Murray, I'm falling into the same trap that I talked about earlier, and that like I don't like him. I'm not crazy about him.
Yeah,
but he's not used. Like he's not a bad player. There's no doubt about it. I think he's overrated, but he's not a bad player. I just, like, I look at a guy like that, you get him in here, and after half the season, we'd be like, he's okay. But I just don't see him impacting winning and losing. By the way, do you realize, and I'm going to use this.
Well, I beat the Warriors.
To cape.
Oh.
Do you realize it was just do you realize it was 3 years ago? Just 3 years ago. The Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah.
Were up one game to nothing on the Milwaukee Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Caught a break.
3 years ago, the Atlanta Hawks were up 1-0 against the Milwaukee Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals. Okay. The Hawks
and
made
some. They also took it to the Sixers before that.
Yes, they did. Bunch of those games
badly.
I was at. Oh, yeah, I was at a bunch of those games in Milwaukee and in Atlanta. Now, this is one of those things where, if you're a Hawks fan, and I was at that time, we must acknowledge they only got by Philly because of Ben Simmons and how lousy he
got
was.
Got a break. Well, you
but
got
nevertheless,
New York?
But like that's kind of one of the things I mean is like to me, when the Warriors won the title in 2022, did they get some breaks? Yeah, they got some breaks, and they won it all. So when I looked at that championship team, I didn't say, well, we are the best team in the NBA. No, you were the best team in the NBA at the right time. But to me, there were five or six teams that were still on your level. You just happened to be the best team that year.
Bringing it back to DeJounte Murray, though, in a way, it's, I mean, maybe that is a guy. I'm not sure.
Might
Stein.
Be.
Well, okay, so he's played 78, 74, 68, 67 games. He's been on the floor. He was an all-star with San Antonio, but he's in his prime. He's 27 years old. And he's someone that maybe the Warriors could look at and say, he's played next to Trae Young for 2 years, and he's doing that. What if we put him next to Steph? What if we get him to buy back into the defensive identity he was maybe known for too much, but in San Antonio, that he bought into? I mean, he played in Popovich's system. maybe he's a fit for the Warriors. It's, but again, it's that kind of player that is obviously, it has flaws.
I would
agree.
But
you're trying to figure out how much you can extract out of them. And someone like DeJounte Murray could be that perfect fit.
I would agree. Like, I don't think it's Murray. I don't.
Well, yeah, he stinks. No, he doesn't.
I don't think he stinks, but I just don't think he
doesn't move the needle.
For heaven's sakes, the Hawks won 36 games in the East. But I think there's got to be a player in the league out there like him that would impact the Warriors. I'm with you there.
Well, could you also make the case to like get him and someone else?
Yeah.
Could you package? Because
of course,
I don't. You know, you said he's not the greatest, but why not? You know, get him and someone else.
Could you
need shooters.
Like, could you go get Murray and like a Kongwu or somebody like that? All right, what's coming up next on the game is presented by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises. Guess what? We got a little special thing on the other side. Evan told me he's got a mini gripe. It's not a guru gripe, but a mini gripe. Coming up on 95 Something.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
I'm sorry.
You're something else, man.
I'm sorry. But do you get why?
You gotta watch what you say sometimes.
I just said to Evan, I hate... Listen, like, if you think about what I said, it's not a hot take.
No, it is. It is.
Okay.
Just say it.
No, I'm going to set it up because you don't take my words verbatim like they need to... I'm very literal.
Say what you really mean to say.
If I were the Warriors, there's a guy, you know, believe it or not, the guy I wouldn't take off the table is Ben Simmons. I wouldn't. I would not take Ben Simmons off the table, even though I'm down on him.
Now, I wonder why.
Well, he's got one more year left, which I like. And he comes to a team. I get it. We need shooting and we need. But even at his most useless on a productive team, he can still pass, rebound, and defend if he just could do those things.
Yeah.
Might be able to help you.
Well, you got Draymond Green to do that.
Has there ever been a player who's fallen off like that and then come back and been functional? I can't think. I mean, I'm sure there has, but
boy,
like here's another guy I would not take off the table. Obviously, depending on his health, is Lonzo Ball. What if Lonzo Ball is healthy next year? Well, he's kind of the guard that you could play with Curry. And he could defend the good guard on the other team, and he could handle the ball. Like, all I'm saying is, of course, again, now they're back to, they're going to win a title. But those are the, you know what pisses me off? Hey, those are the scenarios you got to look at when you're in the Warriors' position right
and
now.
And that's why I'm laughing, is because he's on the table because...
Of course.
Well, roster spot 2 through 15 is on the table for the Golden State Warriors.
Well, I'm. It's not a big table. Jokic isn't on it.
Well, exactly. I also just think it's funny that we were just tossing around the fact that OKC's got 5 shooters and Boston's got 5. The Warriors got to get more shooters.
I know.
Let's go out and trade for the guy who is incapable of shooting or has no interest in it.
It's just like, 49ers want to win a Super Bowl this year, but they're going to trade their best receiver. Yeah, I get it. Or, you know, whatever.
They're a run team, but they're going to go out and acquire Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. Now, if you're a frequent listener of the show, you know that every once in a while, we have a segment called Guru's Gripes, where Guru literally sounds off on a topic that has been bothering him. And Evan today, who's a lot... I would say more mild-mannered than Daryl the Guru Johnson. Since then, I got a little bit of a mini gripe today, and I said, well, let's do it. So I don't want to use the Guru's Gripes cut, but I could do, here's Evan's mini gripe.
Yeah, I have a little bit of a gripe. There was something floating around social media the last couple days, and those that know me know that I'm from the East Bay, so grew up big Warriors fan, also have an affinity for the A's, which has been tested in recent years for obvious reasons, and I saw something circulating yesterday that was a petition for the new play-by-play broadcaster, Jenny Kavnar, to be relieved of her duties. It just pissed me off.
What did she do?
Apparently, she hasn't been good enough.
For some fans.
Gotcha. Well, for a lot of fans.
Okay.
I'm not going to sit up here and say that she's perfect or that I'm tuned into every single game and every single word, because I'm going to be honest, it's been really hard to watch the A's this season.
12 wins in April.
Well, they've been playing well, but I just mean emotionally speaking.
Gotcha.
But that does not mean that Jenny Kavnar deserves to be fired. It has not even been 2 months of her first season as the primary play-by-play voice of a professional organization. And I don't think that we would be doing this, I'm going to go there, if she was a man. And I think it's messed up for people to call for her to be fired, no matter how good or bad you think she is, less than 2 months into the job. Now, if she's not on the team or with the broadcast next season, that's something you can evaluate in the offseason. But for A's fans to band together, apparently, on social media or this, you know, little petition for something that is so inconsequential compared to the laundry list of issues that have been running rampant through that organization, it just frustrated me. It pissed me off, partially because I also am a play-by-play broadcaster, and I understand that it's a hard job, but there are so many more things that you could be pointing ire at in regards to the Oakland A's, and I don't believe she's one of them. So that's my mini gripe, and I think people should shut down this petition.
Well, my first question would be, outside of the California propositions, when you have to get a certain number of signatures to put something on the ballot, when has a petition ever worked? Petitions don't work.
That's a good question.
I mean, no petition works.
Apparently from the 510. Well, I guess people are bringing in their own gripes.
All right.
My guru's gripe for the day is all those adults who drive around the Bay Area in fancy Teslas, Mercedes, BMWs, and that have new drivers, student drivers. All these stickers plastered all over is going to be okay for your crappy driving. If you can't handle a vehicle, you shouldn't be driving. I don't care what stickers you have and all these new technologies or newer cars only make the bad drivers worse. Well, bad driving is just going to be, that's going to be an issue until the end of time. And I hate to break it to you, there's only more cars coming on the road.
By the way, did you see, like, you know what's going away are the carpool lanes.
Oh, that's bad news bears for you.
Oh, monster. Although, you know what? I've started taking BART. I'm not driving into the city.
Where do you mean? What carpool lanes? Like, what area?
Everyone.
Like, all over the Bay?
You know how cars have stickers that last through a certain year? Like, I think right now my car's got a green sticker, which lasts till, like, the last, I think it's September, everything's changing. Like,
you're going to have to pay for them now?
The carpool lanes will continue, but what won't continue, I'm pretty sure, is, like, I will not be able to use the carpool lane as a single passenger just because I've got the sticker anymore.
Oh.
Like, you know how the sticker, you can use the sticker.
Oh.
You got to pay to play then.
That's.
In other words, you'll always be able to use a carpool. Like, yeah. three people is the only way now you'll get into the carpool lane.
You hate to see it. It's almost like the carpool lane that was originally invented multiple people is going to be used just for multiple people.
Yeah.
You hate to see it.
I love it.
Yeah, they're both tools.
Find some friends and bring them along with you to work, Steiny. What is a carpool, by the way? We were talking, the definition of entropy earlier, right? Okay, what's the definition of a carpool?
Well, it depends. It's two or three people in a car that get to utilize a more functional lane.
And that's why you, as a solo driver, will not be able to use it anymore.
Right, but it was created to help the environment so that you put more non-gas users, you put gas users in fewer cars. And so because it was about pollution and the environment, they said, you know what? You get an electric car, you can use the carpool lane. You know why? Because if you limit the carpool lane to just people who have three or more, you're going to be looking at an empty carpool lane for the most part.
Well, it was originally,
we don't have the guts to do it. Because okay. Everybody's scared of the casual carpool that used to be very popular before COVID.
They opened it up to encourage people to buy more hybrid and electronic vehicles, which are now going to be mandated, which means in a cyclical nature, eventually comes back around to not needing to have people on the road in electric vehicles, which means the carpool lane, the original carpool lane, was only a carpool lane.
Right. You know my answer to the question?
What question?
Or my answer to this so-called problem?
Yeah.
More carpool lanes, not less.
See, that's the problem. There should be less lanes in general. When there are less lanes, there are less accidents.
Hey, take it to Finland, all right? We're in the good old USA right now. This ain't Scandinavia.
I actually don't subscribe to that. You ever driven up Highway 1 or down?
Of course.
Yeah, no, but the amount of accidents that seem to happen. Well,
that's different, though, because we're talking like
you said less lanes equals less accidents. There's one lane each way.
But going down Devil's Slide is not something anyone should be, you know, moving fast or, you know, out of the way. Like, yeah, in that situation, absolutely. But I'm talking about like
major, on 680?
Major freeways, yeah.
From the 510, your electric car causes more pollution just harvesting the material needed to make electric. Stop it.
Well, you don't know where those batteries are going.
Oh, you know what? 510, that's a lie.
It's actually not.
That is absolute fabrication.
Those aren't recyclable parts. There's a reason they're so expensive, which I don't mean to air you out, but you found out yesterday.
Okay. You know what? I know where you're coming from, really, with that electric car slander. I know what you're really all about when you put a sentence like that onto a text. All right, 88. No, we got the crossover on the other side.
We got a carpool.
Mark Willard, Dan Dibley. Only one of them. Actually, there's some carpools with only two. You guys are both tools.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben and Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.